sometimes it's easier to, for me teaching, to move ahead or just keep moving along than to go back and pick up and try to catch up. So I didn't know how much exact review we would need. And then Paula proved we need a lot because she couldn't remember a Christmas card. So anyway, I'll give you what I've written down so far for kind of the looking ahead and looking back. This group of chapters, chapter 7 through chapter 12, we've been following the series of prophecy beginning with chapter 7, concluding with chapter 12. As I said, the prophecy began with the judgment of God on his people. Remember, they were going to send the Assyrians in. And in Isaiah 11, we saw the kingdom would be established on earth and that Jesus would be personally, would reign. Now here in 12, we're going to reach the high point. The tribulation is past. The storms of life are all over. Israel is at the temple, not at the Wailing Wall. Israel today is at the Wailing Wall in our society, and that's proof that Israel's return to the land is at the present time does not do the fulfillment of the prophecy as we've read here. So I know there's arguments both ways there. Okay, so chapter 7, we learned of the virgin birth was prophesied. So we're going to go from the birth of Jesus all the way through to the millennial kingdom in 7 through 12. Isaiah's second son, remember he had three names and nobody could pronounce, meaning God is against those who are against his people. And one of the bigger warnings was not to use the confederacy of other nations as a substitute for God. Don't take the trust out of there. We can apply that to today even. Chapter 9, a child is coming to David's throne and the dark days attending his first coming. We learned of that. Chapter 10, the judgment on Assyria after she executes God's judgment on Israel. And then in chapter 10 also, the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon. A remnant of Israel is preserved. Chapter 11, the person and power of the king and the purpose of the kingdom. And now we're going to look at chapter 12 where the tribulation is past and the millennial kingdom is coming in. Now, if that ain't 12 chapters in a nutshell, I don't know what it is. But like I said, it's too involved to... If I go back and picked up every detail that we used, we'll be here another 10 weeks and just get to chapter 12. Okay, chapter 12, six verses. So we were that close to making it, and then they pulled us out. Okay, so this is going to be, if you will, the Thanksgiving, the presentation of the people to God's temple and everything that is going to be aligned in the millennial kingdom. Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, for although thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away and thou dost comfort me. Okay, so then you will say on that day, that's the kingdom being brought in. That's the day that you're talking about. I often wonder how much a person hearing this for the first time in Israel, what was his or her or their thinking? It's a promise of what is to come. But, they have no idea of the depth or the length of what it's going to take to get to this point, in chapter 12. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. You're going to see this as a psalm, if you will. It's going to be sung. But God is my salvation. They have learned, you know, at this point, is the prophecy anyway, not to, if you will, trust in idols, man, countries, nothing other than God. And Israel has been through a lot. The tribulation period is just going to be awful. They think they're having problems now. It's going to get bad, but all because God wants to be their Savior, and they will trust in him and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. That is exactly what we that are believers believe. We have taken that in. We have asked, or God has asked us to accept his salvation that he's giving us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have. So we can trust in the Lord, not be afraid, and the God, he's our strength, and he has become our salvation. So that's, if you will, our testimony in a nutshell also here in this day and age. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. Okay, remember, or not remember because we haven't studied it yet, as we go into Daniel and then into Revelation, that there is going to be a millennial kingdom set up here on earth. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be sitting on David's throne, and all things will be... Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the spring of salvation. And that gives you the idea that it's just going to continue on and on. We know it's, in our vernacular, it's 1,000 years. Whether it's that, in God's time, I'm not exactly sure. I can't give you answers on that. But we will draw from the springs of salvation all the promises that have been given. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, make them remember that his name is exalted. So during that millennial kingdom, wherever we are, if it comes, the tribulation comes before, we're taken up, then we will be in this same situation. We'll give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds, and then remember, make them remember that his name is exalted. Oh, wait a minute. That's our job now. That's our assignment, if you will. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the people, tell everybody about him, and make them remember that his name is exalted. No different. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. So continue on telling people about Jesus, telling people about God, and this will be a song that we can sing forever and ever, and let it be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ will be in their midst. Now, how do we, again, think about these people living in Isaiah's time? What are their thoughts? What do you think they're thinking? This, I can't imagine. I don't have an answer for you. I don't have a... crystal ball or anything to look into or to look back on, or I can't imagine. I honestly cannot imagine, other than the fact that Isaiah is giving them they're in a dark time now. They're under King Ahaz. They never know if they're going to be taken over by another country. Assyria is going to, at this particular time, Assyria is going to come in and put them under their thumb, because God has said, you're wrong, and we're going to take you to the woodshed, if you will. There's going to be sanctions against you, Israel. So this is what in their time, exact time that they're living in, this is what they're looking at. Isaiah comes in with this promise. He's saying, you're going to go through this. And as we said, you know, in chapter 7, I think it was, that Assyria was going to come in and put them under their thumb. And then God was going to judge Assyria, because whoever against his people, he's against. And so they've got this promise of, I'm living under King Ahaz, the worst king in their lifetime at that time. They had the good king, and then they had his son, and then Ahaz comes in. And that's when Isaiah starts prophesying, is when Ahaz comes into power. And, you know, it seems strange when we first started reading it. Why in the world would he know that? Well, God told him what to say, and he knew, or he could know from God's word that what was going to be. But those people, I don't know why I'm hung up on that. I cannot imagine their thoughts. The smallest piece I can think of in our day was when the Twin Towers came down. We had no idea what was coming. We honestly that day had no idea where we were going. If it was going to be an all-out war, you know, how it was going to pan out. But remember what, and the time I saw America turn more to Jesus Christ than any other time. Now, I'm not saying it lasted a long time. But they knew, or America knew enough, that's where they had to turn to, was to God. Now, like I said, then it became all the hatred, you know, all the love for God, all the hatred for the Arabs that caused this, you know, that we're going to be chased down and punished and what have you. But that's the only thing I can possibly think of where we were, at least in our lifetimes, subject to something like that and didn't know the outcome. These guys, they were, you know, the whole country was decimated by Assyria. They had all this, and Isaiah comes in and said, yes, we know that God is going to send Assyria in. He's going to judge them, and then you're going to go through a tribulation. And then on the other side is going to be this chapter 12, where you're going to be praising God for everything that happened. I really imagine most people were, before this started, were blaming God for what just happened. And Isaiah's telling them, on the other side of this, you're going to be praising God for bringing you through this, to this point where, you know, Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of David. So, like I said, if somebody can tell me what you thought they were thinking, I have no idea what it was.
Because they were hopeful. I mean, they may not have understood exactly everything.
Oh, well, yeah.
But I think in their mind, it was a promise that it was going to end and times were going to get better, and a hope.
And it's probably, you're probably exactly right. They had no idea how long this was going to last.
But it was a promise, it was eventually going to end.
If you're Israel, most of it, some of it has happened, most of it still hadn't happened. You know, so those folks had the hope, and then they had to pass that on to generation after generation after generation, that if you will just hold on and turn to God, this will happen. But we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
Well, I guess that's why they were supposed to tell everybody.
Yeah. They were in the process of, they knew that there was going to be a Messiah coming, and they could have leapt from the bad times, because they were in it, to, well, the Messiah is going to come and put everything right. Even at Jesus' day, they were waiting for the Messiah to come. So I could see that too.
That was the hope that they had. And like I said, it had to be a tough thing to try to hold on to and have faith at that time, because, you know, what they were warned about was, don't take allegiance with Egypt because Assyria is coming. You know, don't trust your country or yourselves to Egypt. Don't make alliances with anybody but God himself. And as I said, that's about as close as the 9/11 thing that I can think of, that this country started to turn to God and then started on their own what we can do. And so that's a lesson for us. Okay. Now we're going to turn from these six verses of prophecy into the prophecy about Babylon. And it's, well, let's read it. The oracle concerning Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw: lift up a standard on the bare hill, raise your voice to them, wave the hand that they may enter the doors of the nobles. I command my consecrated ones, I have even called my mighty warriors, my proud exalted ones, to execute my anger. Do we draw from that verse, 9/11? A sound of tumult on the mountains, like that of many people, a sound of the uproar of kingdoms, of nations gathered together, and the Lord of hosts is mustering an army for the battle. They are coming from a far country, from the farthest horizons, the Lord and his instruments of indignation to destroy the whole land. Do you draw anything from any of your other studies of what he's talking about here? That
about the end time, the
return of
tribulation, last part of tribulation.
I think the part that I like the best: they are coming from a far country, from the farthest horizons, the Lord and his instruments of indignation to destroy the whole land.
And that's what they're aiming for, to destroy the whole land, according to the way.
I can hear somebody saying Russia back there. And I think every study I've ever done believes that. You know, I have to say it's probably true. They're going to come from the north. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It says so in the Word of God. They'll be coming down from the north. But it's going to be more so than just Babylon. In the end times, it's going to be the world coming against little Israel. They are going to be blamed for everything. Everything that's ever gone wrong in the world is Israel's or Jewish people's faults. And kind of reminds us of the Nazis in Germany. Everything they did, they had to, for Hitler to come to power and people to believe in something, they had to believe that the Jewish people were the evils. And he sold that. And they finally bought into it, you know, because every neighbor and everybody else said, well, that must be what our problems are. And And so God is warning here about Babylon coming in. And then he says, wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Okay, so we've gone the tribulation. We're going to have the battle of Armageddon, the day of the Lord. Therefore, all hands will fall limp and every man's heart will melt. And they will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment, their faces aflame. All the people at these end times, again, that are coming against Israel, have bought into the fact that there's, and they didn't say that here, but there's going to be a new leader out there who is going to be able to cause everything to settle down. All we have to do is come against Israel. No different than, like I said, Hitler selling the Nazi theme of the Jews being the enemy and causing all the problems in the world or in their nation. Now it's going to happen. But on the day of the Lord, wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will fall limp, every man's heart will melt. And here you go. And they will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment, their faces aflame. What have we done? Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel in fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises. The moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold. A lot of people going to die. And mankind and the gold of Ophir. Therefore, I shall make the heavens tremble and the earth will be shaken from its place at the fury of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. And it will be like a haunted gazelle or like a sheep with none to gather them. They will each turn to his own people and each one flee to his own land. Anyone who is found will be thrust through, and anyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their little ones also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. This... I don't know how to say it any other way than this is what happens when we or a nation or a people say we put something before God. And in this case, there was many things put before God, you know, their own ego, their own haughtiness, as it says here. You know, and we have all of those sins that pop up today. Go ahead, Tom.
I think this has been very, very difficult for either Israelite or Judean. From the day of Abraham, everyone in his family were told we are God's chosen people. And to prove it, they gained great wealth. Even that night when they left Egypt, the Egyptians gave them golden earrings to get rid of them. When they did that 40 years in the desert, they gained great material wealth. I seriously doubt that in Jerusalem at this time, we're not talking about Jerusalem, but in Jerusalem at this time, I seriously doubt there was any poverty allowed to stay in within those walls. So with great wealth, there also comes the assumption of great power. And I think these people would be saying, look how wealthy we are. Look how could anyone defeat us? And God's going to bring them such a long distance. Let me go one more thing. I'll shut up. If we go back to Noah and we talk about those animals, it seems that all those animals that went to the ark got there at the same time. Just as a puzzle, how soon from that day of arrival would a polar bear have to have left the South Pole to get there? But God brought, I know it sounds funny, but God in his wisdom and his might and his power brought that animal the correct distance, the correct time. And he's going to do the same thing here. But these people can't grasp it because of what they've got in their hands. I'm sorry.
No. And again, I take you back to 9/11. We had no idea that was going to happen. We had no idea anybody had enough chutzpah to try it. And then it happened. And then we questioned it for, I'll give it a month. I don't even think it was that long. But, you know, please God, bless this country again, you know, and all this. And then in around the nation, that calmed down. Good.
But even God used that in taking America or believers into the Holy Land, because they went into areas of Saudi Arabia and different places that had never heard the gospel. And through that warrior thing, the gospel was brought in. And so they saw American soldiers getting baptized too. They witnessed that out in the desert and so forth. And God even used that to force.
Yeah. God uses bad to cause good there many times through our Bible. That's no doubt about that. It's just that in I guess in our case, these people sitting in this room right here will say that what have we done, God, that would cause this to happen? And I'm going back to 9/11. I had no thoughts other than the fact that this cannot happen. Israel's probably thinking exactly, how in the world did this ever happen to a country that's the strongest country in the world? And, of course, back then I was still employed, and those guys said, well, we'll just nuke them back to, there'll be one grain of sand, it'll just all melt together over there. How in the world do you do that? You know, but anyhow, it was that's the type of thing that was going around at the time. It was either nuke them into awayness or turn to God. Like I said, we started out turning to God, I believe, and then we went into nuke them into one grain of sand again. But anyway, that's, think about, and Tom's exactly right. The richness of Israel, well, or at least Jerusalem, if you will, was a hindrance, because they didn't believe they could be taken out. And this is, you know, all of this is going to come about in the future that we're talking about. As I said earlier, I don't believe that Israel coming back as a country completely fulfilled that prophecy yet. I think at the end times, Israel will be drawn, the people will be drawn back to Israel, they'll be called back, and then I believe prophecy will start to be fulfilled about Israel itself. You know, what was it, 19, when did they become a country? 40, what, 47? I was good, I'll say 40, 47. That, you know, that was it. That was the thing that was going to start God's clock ticking, if you will. We've gone past that time. But, you know, as I said, prophecy's hard to read. Prophecy's hard to understand. And where do we place it? You know, the things that we're going to learn about in Daniel and in Revelation, the things that we think about right now, and I'll go back to when I studied this one time, the hornets and stuff that are going to come out were actually helicopters. And, you know, maybe they will be. I don't know for a fact they're not, but I don't know for a fact that they are. But God's saying it's going to be a terrible time when this happens. And so we can sit here and discuss and guess, but, you know, we're going to keep going for a little bit longer here. And he's going to tell Israel what's going to happen to Babylon. Behold, I'm going to stir up the Medes against them, who will not value silver or take pleasure in gold. And their bows will mow down the young men. They will not even have compassion on the fruit of the womb. No, will their eye pity children. And Babylon, the beauty of kingdoms, the glory of the Chaldean pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited or lived in from generation to generations, nor will the Arab pitch his tent there, nor will shepherds make their flocks lie down there, but desert creatures will lie down there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches also live there. There and shaggy goats will frolic there, and hyenas will howl in their fortified tires, and jackals in their luxurious places. Their fateful time will soon become another, and her day will not be prolonged. Okay. Babylon is going to come against Israel. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Israel is going to be taken into captivity. No question about that. But God used Babylon, and then he's going to judge Babylon. And
that ain't happened yet.
No.
Not that this isolation. It hasn't
right.
happened
yet. Babylon has been taken down, but not out. I guess is the best thing to say. You know, I can't even imagine what the beauty of Babylon was at the time. The hanging gardens we hear about and all the things. But when it's all said and done, Babylon and the rest of the world is going to either be for Israel or against Israel, and God will judge. Okay, chapter 14 here. My Bible entitles it Israel's Taunt. So we'll see what that is next week. I'm glad to be back to... I'm sorry.
The very end of that there where it says that it'll be out there and the Babylon becomes something that's just crawling creatures. I kind of think maybe wherever Babylon was in that area, that become desert. I'm thinking about the desert.
Oh, yeah.
You know, crawling creatures. I'm thinking that's what Babylon, what God did, going to do Babylon.
Well, see, Hussein started rebuilding.
Yeah.
And then he lost power. But then the buildings, the roads and everything are starting to be rebuilt. So, you know, things are working that way. Okay.
Right.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God in heaven, it's just... good to catch up on your word. And Father, as we study, discuss your word, Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit will come in and be our teacher. So Father, just be with our prayer requests today. Father, be with us now as we go to the next hour. And also, if you would, bless the business meeting that we'll have after that. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.